All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the UConn Connect podcast hosted by Michael Lilly and brother Neil Hite. Neil?
Oh, I knew you was going to ask me that.
Oh, yeah.
It's right beside me.
There you go.
I knew I had it, but
you
just
lucked
aware.
Up today. Well, how was Easter Sunday for UConn?
Well, we had Dennis Hood at Stone. We had brother Kenneth Anderson at Beech Grove. I went to Mayland, you were at Burristown, and we were unable to send a song leader to McBroom's Chapel, and we did not have a minister to preach at Chestnut Mound, so we had to tell them we couldn't cover them there either.
Yeah,
we're in desperate need of help, because a lot of our guys, they don't want to preach every Sunday, and I don't blame them, absolutely.
Well, and you also have Sundays. To consider that it was Easter Sunday,
yeah.
Right? And people want to be with their
families,
their immediate families, their church families. It's hard to convince somebody to go preach to a bunch of people you don't know, especially on a holiday like that, you know? So, but yeah, like you said, we're in desperate need of more preachers, even more song leaders now, just more people that are willing,
yeah,
and able to help us out with this work. So be praying for reinforcements for harvesters.
There you go. Not replacements, reinforcements. Hey, coming up April 7th, first Sunday in April, which is right around the corner. Here we are Wednesday already. Chestnut Mound, I will cover that. Beech Grove, AC is going to be down there. Hurricane, Dale Anderson is going to cover that morning, but I still need somebody for that evening. Dennis Hood will be at Mayland, and Brother Kenneth Anderson and Easton Aldridge are going to Cherry Creek. Easton is going to conduct the class, and Brother Kenneth is going to do the preaching there. So
awesome.
Glad to have Easton stepping up and helping us out with that there. So. But we still need somebody for the PM service at Hurricane. Chestnut Mound normally has a evening service, so I won't be able to do that. AC may be able to fill in there, but I was hoping we'd get somebody else. So we'll see. We have added another preacher for a month or two. Sorry about that, folks. Brother Gary Dodd, who is International Bible College.
Yep, okay.
He is doing some traveling down this way in the next couple of months, and he's agreed to come through and preach at a couple of congregations for us. So that's taking a little bit of the stress off, but we can always use more. Always use more.
Of course. Yep, it'd be nice to cycle some people out who have been doing a lot of work and get some fresh people in. So yeah, busy as always.
Absolutely.
As it were. Well, we'll certainly be in prayer for all those guys, and we hope everybody will join us in those prayers as well. Well, Neil, today, or last night even, I found an article. I work for Lifeway, and I found an article from Lifeway Research that I thought was interesting and kind of raised a few questions in my mind that I think some people might be interested in themselves. Here's a snippet from the article, and I'll quote it and read it out loud. Church attendance has declined significantly since the turn of the 21st century. That's since the year 2000. For example, church attendance has dropped 4% amongst Protestants, from 44 to 40%, and 7 points among Catholics, from 37% to 30%. However, church attendance increases around the two most significant Christian holidays, that being Easter and Christmas. Lifeway Research found that 6 out of 10 Americans typically attend church on Christmas.
60%.
But only 40% the rest of the year. So, it begs the question, I think, for me and for probably many others, of how important is church attendance really? How important is it for you to be a member of a local congregation and attached to the local body, as it were? And I thought we would spend some time maybe sharing some thoughts on that today. So what do you think, Neil?
That has become a kind of a common statement that I've heard, that folks say, well, give me God, give me Jesus, but I don't want to have anything to do with the church. And I kind of understand what they're saying without saying it. They're disappointed in us as Christians, in what we say and what we do and what we claim to believe and the way we live it out. I understand that, but you know, Michael, it's the church is perfect. Problem is, it's made up of a bunch of imperfect people.
Yep.
And just because it's full of imperfect people doesn't mean that I just need to toss it aside. You know, when you said we were going to talk about this, I run back and got some of the research that I had done, and just I want to go through just a couple of things here. Not even talking about the actual scripture references. 115 times the church, which is also translated the assembly,
yeah,
or congregation.
The Greek word is ecclesia.
It can be translated any of those.
Yep.
115 times in the New Testament. Now, folks, I'm of the opinion, and yes, it's my opinion, but I think I can back it up. If God says something once, it's pretty important. If he takes time to mention it 117 times in his word, you ought to perk your ears up and listen to see what's he talking about here.
Yeah.
How about this? Most folks think about it, or don't think about it, but they probably realize it. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says he's going to establish his church. The rest, all the way to Revelation, is talking about his church. The New Testament is bookend with the church.
The church, yeah.
20 out of 27 books in the New Testament directly mention the church. The church. And most folks should know this, but I think sometimes we forget it. From Romans all the way over to Revelation, it was letters written to churches. Instructions written to churches.
Yep. There's what? There's a couple exceptions, right?
Well,
the letters to Timothy were, but
he instructs them to teach this to the church.
Exactly.
Now, you could probably pull out Philemon.
I think Philemon's one, yeah.
You probably could pull that one out, but
I mean, Romans, I mean, 1st and 2nd Corinthians,
yeah.
Galatians, like all of these letters were written not to individuals, but to churches.
And even Peter says, those of like precious faith, brethren, he's writing to not individuals, brethren, a group, an assembly. So, you know, you think about that, man. Then you have the book of Acts, which is the history of the church.
The church, the establishment of the church.
Here's how it was established, here's what they did. So, you know, the church is absolutely the design of folks coming together. It's part of the overall plan, and we talk about the plan of salvation where Jesus came, he died, and I'm sure everybody was listening to Sermon Sunday about his resurrection. That's where our hope lies. If he's the first fruits, then we get a chance to be that as well. But our structure, our place to be while we're in this physical body, is with the church. because it was God's design for us to have folks to lean on. And I'm going to say something that folks don't like, and I'll be honest, I don't like either. It was also designed for us to hold one another accountable.
Yes. I think accountability is something that, you know, that's one of the key sort of tenets of the discipleship groups that we've started here at Devil Springs. We have one going right now with, of course, the plan is to replicate that. But that's one of the key tenets is accountability. We come together for a time of study, for a time of prayer, and we talk about evangelism, we talk about the weeks we've had, and that's really one of the main purposes is to hold each other accountable. Did you study this week? Did you, you know, we also are memorizing Scripture. The Sermon on the Mount. Did you do your memory verses this week?
And then we talk about how our week went, like you said. Did we exhibit Christ-like spirit throughout the week? I mean, did folks see Christ in us?
And I think on a macro level, I think that's something that we lack in the church. And I think there's probably reasons for that, right? We don't want our... how do I word this without sounding gross? We just don't want to make people uncomfortable, I guess. We don't want to discourage people or have them start comparing one to another of, well, I did these things this week. Well, I didn't really do a lot of that this week. But I think something you miss when you start overlooking or being a little lax on accountability sake is it just doesn't encourage spiritual growth in the way that God intended spiritual growth to work when He established His church.
When we talk about the church, and then Romans talks about, and you know, in Corinthians as well, it makes that analogy to the body and the fact that we're members of that one body, but we're individuals, individual members too. Mm-hmm. We have our own responsibility. We have to give an account for ourselves. But God, in His wisdom, designed the church to say, hey, I've got folks that you can go in among, and they're struggling with the same things you're struggling with. And maybe they've gone through that, and maybe they can say, hey, I've been there. Let me tell you what I did. Now, if most folks are like me, I can probably say, let me tell you what didn't work. Let me tell you how I messed it up.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But if I can tell you how I messed it up, what didn't work, then you don't have to try that. You can look a different direction to try to handle it differently.
It's funny that, reminds me of conversations I've had with Lexi over the years about our upbringings. And her sister was, now, Lexi and Bethany both were good kids, not really in trouble, didn't really have problems and things like that. But being the younger sibling, Lexi would see the things at home that Bethany would get in trouble for, or the struggles that Bethany would go through because of some decisions she made. And Lexi would just think to herself quietly, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. I think it should be the same way in the church. You have younger, less experienced Christians who are now joined together in the body with people who have been there and who have done that and who have stepped in it, who have messed up, who have had problems. And you can see the things that they did and they've experienced. And if things didn't go well for them for that, you can do it another way. Or they can offer you wisdom of, hey, you know, I see you're struggling with this. Here's what really helped me get through this. It kind of goes both ways, too.
It does. And sometimes folks just need somebody that they can get something off of their chest. But here's the problem, Michael. We don't We're not really a family the way we should be. And we don't really trust each other. And that may be founded at times.
I was going to say, Neil, why do you think that people don't trust their fellow Christians like they should?
You and I have conversations, and we talk about things that they're hard, that have us, you know, struggling and upset and wanting to try to help and make things better. I can't have those conversations with everybody.
Yeah.
And there are folks who have conversations with me, and my wife will be standing there, and they'll come up, and they're going to give me an update, and they'll say, they'll tell me something, and they'll look at Diane, and they say, and I'm sure you know what, and she'll look at them and say,
nope.
You didn't share anything with me. Folks, when somebody comes to you in confidence and say, I just want to share this, and this needs to be between us. If they're not in danger of hurting themselves or hurting somebody else, then keep your mouth shut.
To put it bluntly, yes. Keep your mouth shut. That's between you and them.
Absolutely. Now, those two exceptions, I understand. If it sounds like that they're going to do harm to themselves or somebody else, that takes a different turn. And I understand that. But sometimes folks are just talking out of frustration. They need to get it off their chest. And a lot of times they'll come back later and say, you know what?
I really regret that.
I wish I hadn't even said that.
Didn't mean...
It didn't go past me. You were just getting off your chest. You needed to vent. It's okay.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have said that. Okay, you've repented of it. Fine. You know you shouldn't have said it. That's fine. I'm not here to judge you. We need to be there for one another. And I think there's a lot of folks that might would come forward and ask for prayers, but they don't want folks to think, and I don't know if this phrase is still used or not, some kind of way about
it. Oh, yeah, it's definitely still used. And like you said, that some of that may be founded.
It is.
Because, like, we've had conversations with other people, too. We are, for some reason, we are very good at shooting our own wounded.
Somebody, we have that reputation.
Somebody comes forward with a problem, and instead of throwing our arms around them and saying, "What? How can I love you? What can I do for you?" we instead say, "Yeah, I knew they weren't going to be able to make it. I knew they were going to backslide. I knew they couldn't figure this out. It was too hard for them."
Let me do an analogy of a parent. The kid has done something wrong, okay? And they come to you crying. They know they've done something wrong. They're upset. They've accepted, I shouldn't have done this. And you start in with, well, you know better than that. You shouldn't have done that. Let me ask you something. What good are you doing? Let me tell you what good you're doing, and I'm fixing to make my toes sore and yours too.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to make yourself, see, I knew. You're building yourself up while you're tearing that kid down. And instead of saying, you're right, you did make a mistake. How can we fix it? What can we do to make it better? Sometimes there's no way to fix it. You just have to work through it. Help that. They know they've messed up. Why would you go about telling them, well, you messed up. Yeah. You knew better. I told you so. Okay, yeah. Well, you feel better about yourself.
That's and you're right. That smashes all over my feet. Because that's a lesson that I am learning as I go as a parent, right? Because, you know, Cade's about to be 3. He has a little cousin who they are together 3 to 4 days out of the week. And they love each other to death, but they're 5 months apart. And anybody who has ever put 2 toddlers in a room together knows there's going to be conflict.
Oh, yeah.
At times, okay? And for the longest time, I would have been really hard on Cade about sharing and being nice and not hitting. We have coaching sessions where we don't hit, we don't push, we don't bite, we don't do these things. And he's to a point now where if he gets frustrated at Hayden for something and he hits him, he immediately knows that he did something wrong. I don't even have to say or get up. I don't have to do anything. And he knows. He turns and looks at me, and I can see it in his eyes that I should not have done that. And now that he's able to recognize that, now I have to change my approach, right? He knows he did something wrong, and like you're saying, it's, well, we have to control that. We have to do better, okay? Hayden's not going to die because of you hitting him in the head with something. He's okay. But you shouldn't treat people like that. We need to be nice to our friends. It's more about having that conversation. You know, authoritarianism only works for so long, right? And you have to continue to adapt your parenting style as kids grow older because they don't respond the same way anymore to things.
And the whole idea behind discipline is to instruct.
Yeah.
To make you discipline someone for a minor infraction, hoping that they learn from that and don't do something worse. More dangerous that might hurt or even worse, you know, disfigure, mar, even kill them.
Yeah.
We won't, and sometimes, you know, the consequences that come along with that discipline, we don't like those. But the intent of a good parent, the intent of God when we're disciplined is I'm trying to teach you so you don't get into more trouble than you can handle. Learn from this. Don't do that again.
Yep.
Do better.
So,
and spiritually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is bring it back to a spiritual sense and how that relates to the church. That's a conversation too that people really shy away from and people don't want to talk about is church discipline and like we've talked about accountability and things like that. And it's for that reason that churches that do practice church discipline and do hold people accountable get a bad rep.
They do.
And people will avoid those churches because they don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to be corrected on anything. They don't want to be told that they're wrong on anything.
And most of the times they won't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
They won't say the fact that you know they came to me, an individual came to me, then some other folks came to me, the elders talked to me, and they won't say that elders said, if you continue to live in open sin, you are causing pain to the body of Christ. We cannot allow you to continue to do that and accept you.
There was a very public situation just like that happened here locally with a church in White County, I believe it was, where this lady posted a letter that she received from the elders of a faithful church that said essentially that we are removing our fellowship from you until or unless you correct these things. And as they said in their letter, you divorced your husband and now you're living with another man unscripturally and you have this adulterous relationship and members have talked to you, leadership have talked to you, the elders have tried to counsel you and you refuse to hear us. And so we're removing our fellowship from you. And it became this whole big thing on Facebook where you had people who don't understand that concept.
Right.
Versus people that do understand it. It was just a mess. Well, Neil, what do you think about this weather?
Kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, when we pray today, I believe you'll take us out in prayer. We need to remember a lot of folks in Eastern Kentucky and in West Virginia. I know there was multiple tornadoes that touched down. I know as I was watching TV yesterday, at least 7 different tornadoes that I heard of, and I'm sure there was many more than that.
Yeah, the weather wasn't pleasant here, but it certainly got worse as it went on.
Oh, so, it did.
Yeah, I think on that note, we may finish this conversation next time, but with the weather picking up the way it is, I'll go ahead and offer a prayer, but I will say, to just to close us out with a thought, we firmly believe that to be an effective follower of Christ, you need to be connected to the body. And that involves your attendance and participation in the local congregation, wherever you may be.
Absolutely. Just this last analogy, and you hinted at it just then, you've got to be part of the body. If we're members of the body, we know what happens if we separate a member from the body. My grandfather was a carpenter and hit a knot while using a skill saw, and it came back across and he cut a couple of his fingers off. Well, those fingers didn't grow back, and there was so much damage they could not be put back on. Those fingers literally dried up, died, and not to be gory, but I mean, they withered away.
Yeah.
Now, they saved what was left of his fingers. But just like those severed fingers, if we remove ourselves from the body, we're not getting the nourishment that that body was meant to give. And without that nourishment, we will wither up and die spiritually.
All right, folks. Apologize for the background noise, but we are going to offer a word of prayer and maybe move to somewhere a little safer than this heavily windowed room. Let's pray, Neil. Our kind, merciful, gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for all the many blessings of it. Father, we thank you for your church, for your body that we're able to be members of, and through which we identify with Christ, and we reap the benefits of that identity for ourselves. Father, we pray for those that are struggling with pain, with hurt that they've experienced from people in the church, Father, but we pray that you can guide them in wisdom and knowledge with your Spirit so that they might be led into a place where they understand the importance of your body and being a member of it, and that they can find somewhere that supports them and that they can be an effective member of that body as well. Father, we pray for all those who have been affected by these storms the last couple of days, people that have lost everything, people that have even lost their lives, all the damage done, Father. We pray that through these trials and these struggles that these individuals will go through, that you can reach them, that people can help meet their physical needs, help meet their spiritual needs, and that you'll comfort them as only you can, as the God of all comfort. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for the sacrifice he made on the cross of Calvary, and for the power that you displayed in raising him from the dead, conquering sin and securing victory eternally for you and for your people. It's in Christ's holy and precious name that we say all these things. Amen.
Amen.